Thank you, Lord, for this chance to be back and to enjoy this kind of last Sunday of the summer together. Be with all our church family, wherever they're at this morning. And we just, what a fun morning to be able to open up your word and to worship together like this. It's just exciting. It's great. Lord, I just thank you for all the wonderful things you're doing here. If you would please, Lord, use your word to speak into our hearts. Do what you promise. You say that the word of God is like a sharp two-edged sword that penetrates, and it works inside our soul. It changes us from the inside out, and so we need that this morning, Lord. I ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, Jeff Warren talked about heaven. I don't know how many of y'all were here last Sunday, but it was great. You can listen to it online if you haven't. And he was mentioning things that he thought heaven was going to be like. And I heard things like, I heard that the Steelers would always win. Did I hear that one right? That like he would have major drum solos with Van Halen or something like that. And the other thing I heard is that he could eat all the double-doubles at In-N-Out Burger that he wanted and not gain any weight, right? That was what he said. Well, Jeff, last week, 2 weeks ago, our family were down in California, and I didn't even know this, but we went to In-N-Out Burger, and guess what I had? I had a juicy, savory, artery-clogging double-double with cheese, everything on it. What? Animal style or jungle style, you bet. Yeah, you know that. Oh, it was awesome. DJ wanted to go back a second time, but I almost had a heart attack just thinking about it. Didn't think I could give myself CPR. So we only went once, but it was great. So it was great. Bonnie survived In-N-Out Burger. Yeah, you can ask her about it. She got a t-shirt. I want to just say thank you to everyone for some time off. One of the Sundays was spent preaching at a different church. And you wouldn't like it. But it was just some friends asked us to be there and be a part of that. It was great. But it's so good to be back. I think we have such an exciting fall ahead of us as we look forward to what God's going to do. And I'm not sure exactly where the summer went, but fall is here. We'll make it happen. All right. Here's the main point that I'd like to share with you this morning, as we kind of get that feel. Look at this first slide. The main life principle, that's really hard to read, isn't it? Spiritual growth, or becoming a mature disciple of Jesus, is never instant or automatic. Think about that for a second. What am I trying to say? Spiritual growth is never instant. It's never automatic. It's always a challenge, and it takes time and discipline. But it's worth it. Here's the good news. Because God and his people will be there to support you on the journey. That's what I'd like to talk about this morning. I don't know where it's going to grab different ones of you, because, again, we understand that a lot of you are in different parts of your spiritual journey, but I hope this grabs each one of you. As I interact and observe many of your lives, I'm so impressed by what God's doing. I'm so encouraged by the miracles I see and the people that are taking their Christian life so seriously. You really want to give yourselves to the Lord, and you're dealing with your stuff. You're taking care of the past, and you're breaking the chains, and it's such a powerful testimony as we watch different lives being impacted, not just through baptism, brand new converts, but for those of you who are just struggling through, and you're growing, and there's victory, and it's so encouraging. I mean, it's really the only thing that keeps me going sometimes, is seeing change, seeing victories and successes. I really love that so much. You're withstanding the storms. You're making better decisions. You're breaking the chains of your past. You're learning how to be in a healthy relationship, not just with people, but mostly you're learning how to be in a healthy relationship with the Lord. And that's not automatic either, is it? It's not. But I also want to challenge, because there's a real reality here, guys. The reality is many of you, many of our church family, we're making poor decisions. We're still kind of doing things the way we always used to do things. There's people that are stubbing their toes along the way of the spiritual journey, right? Some of you can confess to that. That it's just, this is not always smooth sailing as we go down the journey of our spiritual growth. But one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make is that they think that they are instantly spiritually mature, that they, all of a sudden they've got it figured out. It's just like taking this magic pill and poof, you're there. I've arrived. I am a spiritual deep giant of a spiritual man and woman. You know, we kind of think, sometimes we think that we've got it all figured out. Almost by osmosis, we think we're mature spiritually. And just like we so often take advantage of our human relationships, I think we often assume that our relationship with God is just automatic. It's just fine. And it's gonna, you know, it doesn't really take that much work. It's just something that's gonna happen automatically. And there's a wrong thinking that I'd like to talk about there. That we don't think that we don't have to work at this Christian life in order to grow in our relationship with Him. Healthy relationships take a lot of time. Healthy relationships take a lot of time. Those of you who are married or have been married, or you know what that's like, or even just friendships, it's hard work to be in any kind of a healthy relationship, isn't it? It's hard. And isn't it the same with the Lord? Shouldn't it be this? Isn't that the same idea? That we're learning who God is, we're knowing Him, He speaks to us, He becomes our friend, we're becoming, it's that give and take, it's just like a relationship. He's a lot cooler than most of the people around us. He's greater. But it really is a beautiful relationship. One of the most beautiful scriptures that I've been able to find in all of the Bible that talks about this is Psalm 1. I don't think in all the years that we've been here at Two Rivers we've talked through Psalm 1 ever. And so what a beautiful chance to do that, because it makes such a profound yet simple statement about the journey for what a Christ follower should go through. So here it is for us. If you've got it, you can look in your Bible. Here is Psalm 1. Oh, the joys, or blessed are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Blessed, full of joy are those who don't stand around with sinners. Blessed are those who don't join in with the mockers. But they delight in what? They delight in the law of the Lord. Now, that's an Old Testament term for the Bible. It's simply that. They delight in God's word. Blessed is the person who delights in God's word. And they don't just delight in it, but they meditate on it. How often? Day and night. Holy smokes. And these people, these blessed people, they're like trees that are planted by the riverbanks. And they bear fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. Can you picture that? Can you picture that tree with the deep roots close to the riverbank? Healthy, strong. Leaves don't wither. They produce fruit every season, and they prosper in all that they do. Not so with the wicked. Contrast, change of pace. I even changed the color. Not so with the wicked. They're like worthless chaff that the wind scatters. They'll be condemned at that time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. It's real easy to see how this psalmist draws a line, doesn't he? Draws a line between the good guys and the bad guys, the white hats and the black hats, if you will. And it's kind of weird to do that, but think with me a little bit here, because I know we're all the same, we're all together, but think good guy, bad guy with me here. The good guys win, the bad guys lose. If you haven't figured that out yet. The good guys live by this holy Bible, right? According to Psalm 1, the good guys do this. The good guys are like strong trees that we can see down the Willamette or Clackamas River banks. We can see they're so strong, they're amazing. They withstand all the storms, they withstand all this stuff. Oh, I love this picture. I don't know if you can see it. Maybe look at it later, but instead of roots, there's like an old Bible there. It's really cool. It looks great on my computer. Not so hot up there, but... it's a great picture. There's always fruit on these leaves, on these people who are like these strong trees. Whatever they do, the good guy does whatever he does, he or she prospers. Why? Because they stay away from the bad guys. I mean, that's what Psalm 1's saying. Blessed are those who do not hang out with the wicked and the mockers and the sinners. The bad guys don't get in. The good guys do get in. Maybe there's some moments for fun and good times for the bad guys. I understand how being bad is sometimes kind of fun to do. I understand that. But in the end, they don't win. In the end, they face judgment and condemnation. The bad guys are like chaff. Do you guys know what chaff is? It doesn't mean much to us in an urban setting at all, but there's a picture of an old farmer, which would, you know, with a pitchfork, pre-machinery days, where a farmer would just simply take wheat kernels like this and throw it up in the air, and the wind would take away whatever wasn't valuable. The kernel of wheat would fall down because that was the value, right? And all the husk and any part of the stem or whatever wasn't of value, the wind would just kind of sweep away. And what's left is the good kernel. The psalmist here says the wicked are like chaff that the wind scatters. Isn't that depressing? Isn't that discouraging? That's what the Bible calls the good guys. They're like chaff. They're absolutely worthless for the kingdom. Okay. Let's say bad guy. Sorry, I didn't even. The bad guys are going to be judged. They're going to be condemned by Jesus in the last days, and their path always leads to destruction. When I first read this psalm, I got this picture of the bad guys always looking for that quick fix, the instantaneous gratification, the shortcuts to supposed happiness. When the good guys were strong and they're sturdy, and they're wise, and they're fruitful, and they're prosperous, according to Psalm 1. You guys all know how people do things the easiest way they can, right? I mean, I know none of you suffer with this, but work with me. Think through what people go through to find the shortcuts, to do things the easiest way with the least resistance they could possibly do things. Can you imagine that? You know how people live that way? You know, we're all guilty to that to some degree. The path of least resistance, the quick fix. All of us know what it's like when someone calls you on the phone and say, "Hey, how you doing? We're in town. We're gonna come by your place in 5 minutes. See you then." And you just freak out because your place is a dive. Your place is a dump. And you go into hyper mode, right? You throw the pizza boxes into the oven. You put all the dirt-crusted dishes into the dishwasher as fast as you can. You throw all the anything that's left of clothes and stuff in the closet, and you shut the door, and you just pray and hope that they won't notice that you haven't vacuumed the carpet in over 3 weeks. You just, as they come in, please just don't notice how bad the floor is. And you guys know how that quick fix-up it is, and how frantic you are, and how embarrassed you are by it all. But how different is it when you get that you take that time out and you do that deep cleaning of your place. Some of us never feel the joy of that or the gratitude. It just never gets us real excited. But some of us, we have that great gratification of knowing we have scrubbed every inch of that place. And we even get under the bed. We get under the drawers. We just scrub and scrape and scrub and clean and do everything we can to make this place spotless. And then when you're done, you almost want people to come over. You invite people to come over just so they can see how clean your place is. And that's when they decline, exactly. I don't know if you noticed, but I didn't put any guys up there cleaning. Did you notice that? Yeah. I couldn't find any pictures with men cleaning, and it's like an oxymoron, isn't it? Probably, yeah. We'll clean stuff, but not the house, right? Yeah. Anyway, all right. Let me give you a different illustration. How about this? Not just cleaning. How about trying to get back into physical shape? How many of us try to do the shortcut, the quick way? You guys all see these ads all the time, right? Take this pill and you'll lose 50 pounds in 3 weeks. It'll be awesome. Do this exercise for just a little bit and you'll lose 3 pounds every day. You know, all this kind of this magical ads that we all go, "Ooh, that would be really cool." I bet what they're saying is true. Yeah, because we don't want to do the hard work that we know we have to go through. And believe me, you guys, I'm the poster child of this. So you know that I'm not scolding you. I'm talking to me. We have got, you know, there's got to be ways. You got to work hard to get back into shape. You've got to, you know, you just got to eat a lot less, a lot healthier. You got to exercise, burn off all that fat. There's just never an easy way to get into shape. It's hard work. It takes discipline. And a lot of us, dare I say most of us, aren't willing to pay that price. There's a lot of illustrations in life that we can use for this. Looking for the quick way out, the quick fix, the quick touch-up, or the deep cleaning, or the hard work and discipline of physical labor. Isn't it exactly the same with our Christianity? Isn't it exactly the same? What's different? I mean, sometimes we think, oh, you know, I go to church most of the time. I sing a song. When the preacher's up here, I'll put a serious face on, you know, and look all, oh, yes, you know. And I'll pray when I need something. And, you know, I'll try to do less lying and cheating than I'm usually doing. And that makes me a super Christian, fully committed, follower of Jesus Christ. But again, I just share with you this simple truth that being a mature disciple of Jesus is never instant. It's never automatic. It doesn't happen by taking the magic pills. Being a mature believer of Jesus is always a challenge. It takes time and discipline. It's hard work, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Let me quickly show you one more scripture. And I think Paul just nailed this right on the head. This is in 2 Timothy 2. Here's what he says to Timothy, and I feel like to every one of us. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And look at his three examples that he uses about whether it's a quick fix or the deep cleaning, right? Soldiers, number one, they don't get tied up in civilian affairs. They don't worry about the affairs of civilian life because then they can't please their commanding officer. And athletes, number two, they can't win the prize unless they follow the rules. How about hardworking farmers? Third example. They should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Paul says, think about what I'm saying because the Lord will help you understand all these things. Those are three great examples of a disciplined person who stays on task, stays on goal, does the work necessary, not just to survive, but to win and to succeed. Man, I sure know how to take the fun out of this, don't I? This is not encouraging, I know. It says, Rob, all you're doing is telling me I have to work hard, and I'm not really encouraged. Instead of happiness and joy, I'm just talking about discipline and effort. But you know what? There's a reason why only a few athletes win gold medals at the Olympics. There's a reason why so many people fail at these efforts when they don't put the hard work and the sweat and the discipline into succeeding at something that's important to them. Many of you live your entire lives without... some of you are at the point where you don't even try anymore because you're so tired of failing. You're so tired of doing it halfway that you're not even willing to give it a shot anymore. You just kind of give up. That's so sad. All of us know that we can never be as disciplined as we need to or even try. But how many of you've had so many jobs that you've lost for whatever reason, things that you've done to deserve to be laid off or fired. And how many of you have had so many broken relationships that just after failure, it's just so frustrating. Why can't I figure this out, you ask yourself. It's just easier to break up or to unfriend that person on Facebook. I know. I don't know about you, but what I'm convicted by this morning by the Lord and what I want to throw you at is I'm just so challenged that I don't want to live my life halfway. I don't want to live my life expecting to fail. Psalm 1 says, whoever is a child of God, whoever meditates on this word day and night is like that strong tree. Whatever they do, they prosper. I'm not talking about getting rich and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about prosper. I'm talking about success in your day-to-day living. Oh, what would that be like in your life if you had that kind of success? Guys, it's worth being a strong tree planted by the river rather than chaff. It's worth it. It's worth it. Who wants to live like chaff all the time? How many people just want to be constant failures? It's worth being that strong tree. It's worth being like that dedicated soldier, committed to the cause, rather than just living your life without effort. It's worth thinking about living your life like an athlete, who practices and practices and practices. They work day and night, just like that person who Psalm 1 describes. that they meditate on the word day and night. That's how a Christ follower gets into spiritual shape. That's how we do it. We study this manual. We don't just study it. We live out the principles that it gives for us. We put them into practice. It's worth being like that farmer who works hard, gets up early, works late, says no to life's distractions. They stay on track so that they can reap that harvest from the sweat of the brow. It's worth it for them because spiritual growth, being a disciple of Jesus, is never automatic. It's not instant. It's always a challenge. It takes time and discipline, but it's worth it because God and his people will be there to support you on the journey. And I want to talk about that last part of this quote, that it's worth it because God and his people will be there to support you. For those of us who are really struggling in life, those of us who feel like quitting because real life is just too hard, and I know that feeling, when it's too hard, we're tired of failing, we're tired of losing, we're tired of everything going wrong, I have great news for all of us, that God is never, ever going to abandon his kids. He's going to be there for us. And he who began a good work in us, what does it say in Philippians? He's going to finish it. He's going to complete it. He who started that work is going to finish it. He's working on us. Remember that old song when I was a kid? He's still working on me to make me all that I want to be. We need to do a modern version of that song. Because God is, if we let him, he's working on us and he's changing us. I love it. I love it. He's not going to help us to grow and not stay. He's not going to let us stay like this little dependent kid who lives depending upon everybody else for their spiritual growth. He doesn't want to leave us like that. He wants us to grow strong. He wants us to be like a strong tree or like that farmer or like that athlete or like that soldier. He wants us to be that kind of a person for him. God promises to be there with us during all those times, but we need to rewire ourselves. We need to rewire our brains. We kind of need to rewire our souls, wherever that is. We need to rewire ourselves so that we can grow up spiritually by becoming disciplined and dedicated. No, it's not easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And for some of us, that demands pretty incredible change. It demands a change in your habits. It demands a change in your lifestyle. But it's worth it if you take this seriously. And it's not just God who's going to be there for you, but if we do this right, if we do this church thing right, his church family is going to be with, your church family will be with you as you go through that as well. That's the way it's supposed to work. Them for you, you for someone else, right? You know, I want to hang out with people who are serious about growing up spiritually. I'll hang out with any of you who are saying, I am serious about wanting to grow spiritually. Proud soldier, we will fight alongside you. We'll help you win the battles. Disciplined athlete, man, we'll run alongside you if we have to. Or if nothing else, we'll be in the stands cheering you on as you do that. Dedicated farmer, if you fit in that example, if that helps you. We're going to be there to encourage you, work a little harder, a little longer, so that you can enjoy that harvest. We'll bring you the glass of water. We'll bring you that lemonade that you need because you're sweating so hard. We'll even pick up a shovel or hoe and help you out. No, we're not going to do the work for you. You hear that? You guys hear that? I know most of you don't need to hear this. There's probably a lot of people out there. We're not going to do the work for you. That's not what it's about. We're there to coach and we're there to encourage, be that cheerleader to help you grow. I don't get into shape by watching my son do 100 sit-ups, by watching him do 50 push-ups. I go, nice job, yeah. Ooh, I feel better. I feel good. No, it's not until I get my butt on the ground and start doing it myself that I start to grow. He encourages me, each other, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what we need to help each other that way. And guys, if you really want to get in the game, you've got to do the work and you must get into this word. You must do it. This is not just some kind of a, I don't know, sometimes I think we look at the Bible as just some kind of magical potion or magical formula that we just need to do, you know, listen to it and it works. But we need to meditate on this. We need to chew it up. We need to let it become real into our lives like never before. day and night if possible. What would that be like if that was your life? That day and night you were meditating on the word. You got to do a deep cleaning of the soul. Stop throwing stuff in the closet when you know, at those times of emergency. Do that deep cleaning. That will radically change your life. Because there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts. Nobody becomes a spiritual giant overnight. It takes hard work and discipline. But the good news is we have this amazing coach, this amazing Holy Spirit, who so longs for us to succeed. And that's how come we've got it different than any other religion, any other philosophy. We've got it so different because we have God himself, God Almighty, who is there in our corner saying, I am there. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's succeed. Let's win. Are you tired of failing? Jesus says, so am I. Let's start winning. Let's start doing this the right way. No shortcuts, but the great news is we have a great God who promises to encourage us, to push us, to help us. I want to ask you a favor if you just stand with me and I want to go out praying. And I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but I want us to pray out loud that you would maybe repeat a prayer that I say. If you are at all challenged, that say, I want to be serious. I want to get even more serious about being mature, growing up, being more disciplined, more taking my Christian faith more seriously. If you're at all challenged to say, yeah, I want to do that, would you repeat this prayer to the Lord? Let's pray. I'm going to say the words, and you just repeat after me, would you? Thank you, Lord, for loving me just the way I am. But I know you don't want me to stay that way. Jesus, I need you more than ever. Forgive me for looking for the easy way out. Forgive me for not being dedicated like I should. Help me, Lord, to grow strong spiritually and to change my ways. Help me to trust you with all my heart. I love you, Lord. Amen. Guys, one of the best ways you can get started working out, if you want to start a new regiment, one of the best ways you can do that is get into a home group this fall as we start up again. Commit yourself to this group of people who will help you grow spiritually. Second way is if you've never done the Alpha course, do the Alpha course as we start at the end of this month. It's a great way to get into a discipline, to grow, to learn some great things, and to experience God's power, to get plugged into that power source. It's absolutely vital. One more thing that you can do for yourself. It's the bottom thing. I put a website up there. This is a cool thing. A lot of you have heard about the Bible you can read in a year. And most of us start well in January and maybe February and then by March, you know. When you get to Leviticus, you kind of like, ooh, you know. But on BiblePlan.org, they have all sorts of ways that you can have a regimen. And they'll send you a daily email. For example, I'm doing through this just the words of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every day they're giving me just a section of that scripture. And I can read the Gospels. If I follow it every day, I can read all four Gospels four times in a year if I do that. And so if you want to get an email, you can do whatever version, whatever language. If you guys want Arabic, they've got it. You know, whatever language you want. So, and tons of different versions, even the Message. That's how broad they are. So BiblePlan.org is a great way to, again, get into that habit of that daily reading if you'd like some help with that, all right? So God bless you guys. It's great to be back. Enjoy Labor Day weekend, all right? Go be the church.